Are you looking for a place to connect with other women who have similar stories to yours? Come check out Rewritten on Patreon. I am determined to create a community for those of us who have experienced the types of relationships that we talk about on this show. I'm filling it with resources, playlists, live Q&As, private podcast episodes, and so much more. Let's create something magical together. Head on over to www.patreon.com/thescarletedit to check it out. The first month is on me. Welcome to the very first episode of The Scarlet Edit. I'm so happy you're here. This show is where we talk honestly about modern relationships, including the messy, beautiful, and complicated parts that are often kept quiet. Affairs happen, divorce happens, situationships happen. These relationships can be loving and meaningful, though, even when they don't fit the usual script. Here, there's no judgment, only space to share, reflect, and find understanding. So if you've ever wondered what makes someone start a podcast about the realities behind those experiences, well, you're about to find out. For this kickoff episode, I'm handing the mic to someone who I actually met through podcasting. She was a prior guest on my show and is a brand strategist, business mentor, and former Fortune 100 marketer turned entrepreneur, Samantha Fackler. She's here to ask the questions, pull back the curtain a little, and help you get to know the voice behind this show. Let's get into it.
Hello, Nikki. Welcome to your own show.
Hey, thanks for having me on my own show. Thanks for accepting my invite to be the interviewer of me on my own show.
Oh, my pleasure. So, you know, this show obviously is about so many different types of relationships, divorce, affairs, situationships, a lot of those that people tend to shy away from talking about in public. So we want to kick off today talking about you and specifically one of your experiences that tends to be the one that stops people in their tracks.
Yeah.
And that was your 5-year extramarital affair.
It sure was. I know. It's so funny because, you know, I think affairs, while I know that they're incredibly common, they're also still something that people, you know, gossip about or keep quiet. And I mean, obviously, right? Like people don't just walk around being like, hey, guess what? I'm having an affair. Or like, guess what? I'm cheating on my husband or I'm cheating on my wife or whatever. Like people don't just come out and say that. But I think that the reality of it is that these things are happening and it's not always this horrible, like just physical or these one-off situations, I guess is kind of what I'm trying to say. Like oftentimes affairs turn into like very real, very true, very long-term relationships. And I think that, you know, in the past, especially for the woman, if you were the woman that was involved in an affair, regardless of your marital status, right? You could be a married woman having an affair and you're still going to be labeled a homewrecker. You could be a single woman having an affair and you're going to be labeled a homewrecker or someone with daddy issues or just labeled with bad things. Like you're a bad person or a nefarious person. And I mean, sure, are there bad people out in the world? Yeah. But more often than not, it's just two people who happen to fall in love. And if you're a single woman, like I was, that's really what it was. Like I wasn't necessarily out looking for somebody unavailable. I just ended up in a situation with a man who was very easy to love and he was very easy to be with. In retrospect, I think we were both at points in our lives where we were both desperate to be loved. And when we found each other, it was so easy for him to love me and it was so easy for me to love him that it was so just easy for us to be together.
Yeah. And I think when most people hear about affairs, it's after the fact. It's oh, they had an affair, right? It's past tense.
Yeah, but totally.
But I would love to hear about the beginning. You know, how did it start? How did you two meet? And what were those initial steps before the affair started?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was somebody that, you know, you just kind of like meet people along the way at different phases of your career and different points in your life. And then, you know, you meet someone and then you switch jobs or you move cities or whatever. But because of social media, we're able to collect these people that we meet along the way. So he was one of the people that I had kind of collected along the way, even though from the first time we met to when we had got together, I think what, like 8 years had passed. So it was just simply social media and then us happening to be in the same place at the same time. And it was interesting to me because the first time we had met, I remember like feeling like some chemistry and being like, you know, finding him attractive, you know, but like I was, you know, in my early 30s and I was just, you know, I had just started a new career. And so, and I had a boyfriend. And so I was like focused on all these things. And, you know, he's 10 years older than I am. So even though I was like 30, I was still like, ooh, he's 40, he's old, you know? And like, I didn't really like think that. And now I think that's like hysterical because I'm now in my late 40s and I certainly don't think anybody in their 40s is old. But like back then it was like, I was still just so in that mindset. And so it's like, I didn't think anything about it, right? But then you fast forward, like I said, almost 8 years and well, more than that. Yeah. A little more than that. And it's like, you just see somebody differently. And we genuinely just happened to be in the same place at the same time. We happened to be staying at the same hotel, which was like, what are the odds of that? Like, it was like so wild. And it was like, I saw him out of my peripheral vision. I was in a car in an Uber getting dropped off. And I saw someone and my brain just immediately recognized like the energy or whatever. And I glanced over and I swear to God, if he had not been holding his phone to his ear, I probably would have jumped out of a moving vehicle to get his attention. Like that, I know that sounds crazy, but like that's how I literally felt in that moment. I was like, oh my God, like what? Like how on earth am I running into this person here of all places? So that was kind of how we ended up reconnecting and chatting again after like all that time and then just like, you know, a social media connection.
Wow. Yeah. So you meet, there's 8 years of a gap and then all of a sudden, right place, right time. And when you see him, your whole body is like magnetized, it sounds like.
Literally. Yeah. I mean, it was like one of those feelings where I was just like, holy shit. Like, I promise you, like, I think I grabbed the door of the Uber and then I was like, wait, you're still driving. Like, this man is about to drop you off. Don't give him a heart attack. Like, poor driver. He would have been like, we're here. Why are you getting out of the car?
And then at this point, were you still with the boyfriend? Were you single?
No, I was single. So I had ended up marrying that boyfriend and then ended up divorcing that husband. So I was single. He was not.
And then, you know, was there a moment where kind of sparks flew or what was the next step after that?
We ended up meeting for a drink. And it was just kind of like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in forever. Like, this is so crazy. And just kind of like chit-chatting and catching up. And then, you know, a few weeks later, we both happened to be back in the same area and had dinner together. And then pretty much just, it was very easy. So we just kept going from there and just kept seeing each other from there.
What was the point when you moved from acquaintance territory to relationship territory?
I mean, pretty much immediately. It was like we had that drink. And then, like I said, a few weeks later, we went to dinner. And then it was just pretty much on. From that point forward, we just saw each other constantly. I mean, we were both working in the same area. So it made it very easy to see each other on a regular basis. And so we did. And it was natural. And it wasn't like, it didn't really almost need to even be discussed. It was just like, oh yeah, like this is great. Like, where are we going for dinner tonight? Like, what are we going to do? Like, it just very naturally evolved.
And did you feel those feelings grow during this time period?
Oh yeah. I mean, I would say within like 2 weeks, I had fallen in love with him. And I would even say it would probably took me 2 weeks to admit it. I think it probably happened even faster than that. Yeah.
Wow. So fast.
It moved. Yeah. So fast.
Was there anything in the back of your head thinking about his wife? Like, are they going to stay together? What's happening there?
I mean, at first, it's funny. the two times in my life now, I've had these thoughts where I'm like, I'm just going to be single and I'm going to date like four or five people at once. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be this girl about town and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I'm just not like, that's just not who I am. Like, I am very much a like one man woman. But at first I was like, yeah, like I'm single. I want to do whatever. And I wasn't really thinking long term because I didn't really feel like I could. Right. And I think that's the thing about affairs in retrospect is that when you're with someone who is married. And I actually think I want to make a point here too. Like, I don't think that like affairs just happen. When somebody is married or in a relationship even and decides to have, you know, step out on their partner, have an affair, it's a symptom. It's not the problem. Like, if you are genuinely happy in your relationship, your energy isn't going to be putting that out into the world. You're not going to be looking for somebody else because you're going to have what it is that you need. So I think that that's like a really important distinction to make, especially as women. Because like I said at the beginning, like we often get tagged as like homewreckers and like, how could you do that? And then with all the like girls, you know, conversations that are happening, like, how could you do that to another woman? And it's like, I wasn't doing anything to anyone. I fell in love with someone. And yes, he was married. Did I think about her? Not particularly. I mean, not really at the beginning. I was just kind of like, that's his life on the weekend. And I see him during the week and it's fine. It's great. But then, you know, feelings get involved really quickly. And I know that there are some women out there who can disconnect, you know, their physical activities with men from their feelings, but most of us can't, right? Like, women are very emotional. And when we are intimate with somebody, that stirs up a lot of feelings and even hormones in our bodies that make us feel all of these different ways and then start thinking different things. So for me, you know, as time went on, you know, my feelings and my thoughts evolved. Because at first it was kind of like, okay, like this is going to be something until it's not. I always kind of thought this is going to be something until it's not. But then I got to a point where I was like, I'm going to have to be the one to end this because like, why would he, you know, unless he woke up one morning and all of a sudden was like, I don't find you attractive or like I fell out of love with you or whatever. But like, why would he end it? Like, why would any man end it? Right? Because it's like, they're essentially having their cake and they're eating it too. And I'm not saying that to be, you know, rude to anyone because I do believe that these are very real feelings. Like, I believe that my relationship was very, very real. It was founded in, you know, we had deep respect for one another. We loved each other. We were very supportive of one another, very helpful to one another, did nice things for each other. We were very in tune with like how we work and what we need and, you know, love languages and all of those things. You know, we were very, very there for one another. And I mean, he truly became my best friend. And I can confidently say like that I became his during our relationship. So it was so much more than just, you know, being that homewrecker or being a girl that has daddy issues, because I definitely don't have daddy issues. So I think those are two important distinctions to make. You've probably heard me mention my podcast strategist, Juliana Barbati, and for good reason. Whether you're launching from scratch or refining a show that's already live, her podcast marketing and production agency handles the back end so you can stay focused on your message. She's been a huge part of my journey, and I always recommend her. You can head to julianabarbati.com or check the show notes for the link and let her know I sent you.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a genuine relationship that unfolded and feelings moved really quickly. I'm curious because you mentioned, you know, you were the one that was going to have to end it. So, you know, during this relationship, did he ever, I guess, talk about his wife or if he wanted to end things with her or if the wife knew? I think we're curious to hear.
So I know, right? So there's a couple of questions that you just asked. So like, I'll go through them one at a time. Like, he was very like clear that he had no intention of getting divorced. And like, he was clear about that from the beginning. So that's another thing too, that I think a lot of times when people have affairs is that people usually are very clear with their intentions, like from the beginning. I mean, it's kind of almost like dating, right? Like people are usually pretty upfront. Like they tell you who you are if you're actually listening, right? And again, you know, a lot of women like, oh, I can fix him or I can change him or I can do this or I can do that. Or like, oh, he'll change his mind. Like, okay, but usually they don't, regardless of their situation, right? So he was very clear about that. But at the beginning, it's like, I didn't really care because I was kind of like, okay, cool. Like, you know, like this will end when it ends. I didn't ever think it would last as long as it did. But then I did get to a point where I was like, okay, this is stupid. Like, why can't this be more? Why are you spending the majority of your time with me when you could be spending like all of your time with me and just ending it? Because like, you're really just like ships passing in the night at this point, and you're just basically your co-parents that share a same roof when you happen to go home. But for him, it was like, I don't want to do that. Like he did not want to get divorced. He was adamant about that. And I was kind of like, okay.
Did he say why?
You know, he had a couple of reasons. The main one being that, you know, he had been divorced one time before and he had always kind of made this promise that like he wouldn't go through that again. Like many people, right? He has kids. And so he didn't want to disrupt anything with his kids, which, you know, it's like, of course I can respect that. And I know it's hard for me to say what I would do because I don't have kids myself. However, there are plenty of people in the world who get divorced every day that have kids. So to me, I felt like it was a little bit of a cop out, like, oh, you're saying like you don't want to do this because of kids, but like your kids are pretty smart. And like, I know kids like way younger who, when their parents told them they were getting divorced, the kids were like, yeah, we knew this was coming. And they're like, how'd you know? You're 9, you know? And they're like, yeah, we just knew. So I was always just kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. But it's crazy with these types of relationships, right? It's like, I mean, I've had friends in similar situations and I've always told them like, this only ends when you decide, because he's not going to end it. Like, why would he end it? He's obviously not getting everything that he needs at home. So he's with you and he's getting all of these other things from you. So like now he has everything. So why would he end it? So you've got to be the one to end it. And it sounds, saying it sounds, is a lot easier than actually doing it.
Yeah, I think any breakup is difficult, right? But
any breakup is difficult.
I think, especially when there are very real emotions and you were together for 5 years. This was a very long relationship.
Exactly. It was super long. And so I want to go back to one of the other questions that you had asked, and then we can talk about like the timeline of things. But you asked if she knew. So yes, she did. Here's the other caveat, right? I mean, I trusted him with everything. So I chose to believe everything that he told me about what was going on at home. I remember, you know, he told me when she found out, and, you know, it was kind of like, I mean, on one hand, I was like, okay, well, was it like, it was like my fault, but like, not really. Like he had told me he was going out with his buddies. And so like I was out like at a concert or something. And so I had sent him a photo. Well, it turned out it wasn't just the boys. It was like the boys and their wives. And she happened to be sitting next to him and saw my name pop up on his phone. And she was like, who's that? So, you know, that's how, you know, he ended up telling me that, you know, she wasn't stupid and she figured it out and he, you know, told her. And then I was kind of like, okay, so like, what does that mean? Right? Like, what does that mean? Cause I thought like he was going to be like, okay, so we have to like, I can't see you anymore or whatever. And he kept seeing me. And so I was like, okay, I was like, but what did she actually say? You know, and she basically, you know, I'm obviously not going to, I don't think it's fair for me to talk in what level of detail I know about her personal journey in life, but, she basically was just like, hey, I know that I'm not giving you everything that you need. And so she just kind of turned her head. I was like, okay. One of the things that I certainly wanted to know was like, okay, are you still sleeping with her? Because if you are, like for me, that would have been really a tough pill to swallow. And then not only for like hygiene and all of that, but he wasn't. And again, do I know that for certain? No, but I did choose to believe that he wasn't. So I mean, for me, I was like, okay, well, this is great. Like, because I mean, as time went on, I was kind of like, well, okay, at some point he's going to be like, okay, this is dumb. Like, why am I doing this? Like, why don't I just end this? And like, Nikki and I can be together and, you know, do whatever. I mean, that's what my brain was hoping and wanting to happen.
And, you know, you said that you spent weekdays together. Was he sleeping over at your place? Like, what did that time look like?
I mean, a lot of time was spent at my place. If at the beginning we were both traveling for work to the same area, so it was just like, okay, like, where are you going to stay? Where am I going to stay? And then sometimes I wouldn't even get a hotel if I was going somewhere for work. I would just stay with him. And I mean, it was easy. But yeah, I mean, a lot of time at my place. Or we would travel, you know, we'd go to like LA, Portland, Seattle, Vegas, San Diego. I mean, you know, it was very normal relationship type, you know, weekend trips or a couple nights here or there if there was a work trip that went somewhere fun.
And I know this was 5 years, and I believe you shared before that this was also during COVID. So you had to navigate COVID during this relationship.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like COVID in some ways extended the relationship, because I had started 2020 with a new job that I was so excited about. And I'm really weird with numbers. And I really, at the time, like, I'm less so obtuse about odd numbers, but I used to strongly dislike odd numbers. So I really liked even numbers. And I was like, it's 2020. I was turning 42. And I was like really excited. And I had got this new job. And I was just like, this is my year, you know? And then, you know, this relationship is going to turn into something or it's not, right? I was adamant that, like, we're going to make this, like, he's either going to say, like, yes, I can actually move forward with you in a very real way, or I was going to say, okay, then it's over. Well, then COVID happened. So then it was like, okay, well, this sucks because, like, you know, especially at those first few months, like, nobody knew what was really going on. Nobody was traveling. Everything was closed. Like, we were all just like prisoners in our own homes. And so finally, after I think it was like 8 weeks or so went by, I was like, okay, I am losing my mind. Like, we need to see each other. And I was like, we can, like, each get in our cars, like, drive halfway. You know, I don't care, but, like, I can't not see you anymore. Like, talking on the phone, like, isn't cutting it. So I ended up, you know, we ended up figuring out ways to see each other, and we started seeing each other again. And it was great, you know, because it was kind of like, ooh, we're having these like little rendezvous here and there, and like going different places where at some points in time where like certain counties were open and certain counties weren't. So it was like, okay, like, where, oh, we could go to this random place. Like, and so it was fun, or like, or obviously like he could just come to my place. But then when the world started opening back up again, it was like all of the same like things that I had been frustrated with were now very real and happening again. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, this is now annoying me again, because now you're back, you know, living your normal life. Where before it was just like, oh, we're stuck at home for COVID, but he would go and do something with me. So I would say, like, it's funny because when you're going through these things and I look back, I definitely had my own frustrations, you know, from the beginning, right? From probably from like after the first few months. I mean, there's a, like with any relationship, there's a honeymoon phase. So there's, you know, once that starts to wear off a bit and you really are seeing like what is going on, then it's kind of like, okay, like this kind of sucks. Like there are some things about this that suck. Like one thing that is so crazy that I think so many people who have never had an affair or been with someone who is married or in a relationship is that, like, when they go home, like, you can't just pick up the phone and call them. Like, do you know how fucked that is to not be able to pick up the phone and call your boyfriend? People, like, truly grasp that, like, it is, like, the weirdest thing. But, like, your brain will justify it and justify it down to a point where it's like, oh, it's no big deal because he'll just text me when he can talk, or he'll call me later. Like, I can tell you like how many times I would get in bed and like my phone is like right here because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss a text because like I couldn't, you know, call him to say goodnight. Like, it's so stupid.
Well, there, it sounds like there were off hours in the relationship, but only on his side, because it seems like he could call you anytime.
Of course. And that's the thing. It's like when you are the person in the relationship that like enters it actually as a single person, you are free as a bird. And then you get entangled with someone who isn't. And, but if you fall in love, it's like you end up giving them everything. And so it's like, you know, and I mean, I was a willing participant in this. So it's not like I'm sitting here being like, oh, feel bad for me. I'm just talking about the reality of what the situation, like of what these situations are. And I mean, and I loved him so much. I mean, I loved him so much. I would do anything for him, and I did everything for him while we were together. And I loved doing it. Like, I loved the role that I played in our relationship and in his life, you know. But I think I mentioned to you when we were talking about this the other day, is it's like, you get to a point where there's like little things that bother you, right? And it's like, maybe it's like ruminating one night that like, oh, I really wanted to call him because I wanted to go to bed at 8:30. And now I'm like sitting here waiting to get a text or something, right? Or maybe it's just like something like little where you're like, like I wanted to go away this weekend. And you're like, oh, well, like one of the kids has a basketball tournament, so I can't be out of town that weekend. And you're like, okay, you know, but then it's like, there's so much more that like is positive. So it's like, there's this little bit that's negative, but all the rest of this is positive. And I'm, you know, I'm feeling so great and I'm loved and I'm taken care of and blah, blah, blah. But then at some point it's like, it starts, the balance shifts the other direction and you start getting annoyed way more with things than it's not being outbalanced by the good. Mm-hmm. And that's what ends up getting tough, because then you realize that you're just kind of frustrated all the time. And I had got to that point right before COVID where I was like, okay, like we're like shit or get off the pot, bro. Like, I love you. This has been amazing. But like, I'm now on this like new trajectory that like I worked my ass off to get to, and I want more. And then COVID, right? So we kind of got back in our groove. Everything was great. And then things started getting, you know, more annoying when the world started opening back up again.
Got it. So all the things that were frustrating you grew over time, got you to the point where you were like, I have very real needs and priorities. Those are not being met in this relationship. COVID hit, kind of scrambled some things around. And then once things started opening up, you rediscovered those.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to part one of the first episode of The Scarlet Edit. Tune in next week to hear part two of my story. If this episode has you thinking about your own story, you're not alone. I created Rewritten as a place for women to connect, reflect, and share what love has really looked like in their lives. Not the highlight reel, the real reel. Inside, you'll find honest community, live Q&As, and the kind of support that reminds you you're not broken, you're becoming. You'll find the link to join us in the show notes.